Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Paul.
It is lovely to see you all. Some new faces. Give me a few weeks. Takes a few, doesn't it? But I do learn names eventually. Today, we're having Holy Communion, and we're going to do that at the very beginning of the service before we go out. We have got gluten-free wafers, and we have got wine with no alcohol in it, so just make that clear if you want those when you come forward. Everybody who loves the Lord Jesus Christ is welcome to receive communion in this church, so please feel free to receive. This week we have various activities, so carol singing outside the church on Tuesday at 6:30, possibly with a mince pie and a glass of mulled wine. Oh, is it going to rain? Okay. Well, if it's really bad, I guess we could sing inside, couldn't we? On Wednesday, we've got the North Warwickshire Community Choir carol service at 7:30. And then on Sunday, we have got the 6:30 hour carol service. Please invite friends, people who don't usually go to church. We will be doing a presentation of the gospel, possibly too brief for some people in this church, but they'll get a gospel presentation. Does any young person, and I'll leave it for you to decide if you're a young person or not, but does a young person here want to tell me what the third candle is of Advent? Don't know. Pardon? Ah, you can do it that way. There is different ways of doing it. So one of them is hope, and I don't know which one that is. So I'm going to let you light the candle anyway. In our church, there's two ways of doing it, and we do people. So come forward. It's John the Baptist. If anybody knows the five names of the candles, I'll be impressed because I don't know them. I know R5, which is the patriarchs, the prophets, John the Baptist, Mary. Anybody know what this one is? Jesus. You can stay. You can stay. Right. So we're going to light this one. This is for John the Baptist. Yeah, you see, it's just because it's pink doesn't mean it's a... Thank you very much. Have you got a prayer for me to say? So, I say the bit in white and you say the bit in yellow. People of God, return. You are called to be God's own. From the mountains, announce the good news. God comes in justice and peace to all who follow his ways. You are God's children. Lord, make us one in the peace of Christ today and forever. Amen.
Let Mary add my own warm welcome to you this morning as we continue our preparations for celebrating Christmas and the coming of our Lord Jesus. Some opening words from Psalm 147. Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise him. We pray. We come in the name of Jesus, confident of your love and mercy. We come in the name of Jesus, who gives us courage, hope, and joy. We come in the name of Jesus, who taught us to call you our Father, and promised that the Spirit would come. We come in the name of Jesus, the one who calls us to worship and serve in his name. We come in the name of Jesus, the one who first came to us. Amen. Amen. And now let us join together in our welcoming prayer. Lord Jesus, By your grace, we gather here to worship and glorify you. Give us wisdom, courage, and love to welcome the new person into this place, so that they too can meet with you and know your redeeming love. Amen. We have our first song of worship. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies.
Presence of my enemies.
Come to a time of confession, so let us just quieten our hearts, quieten our minds. Heavenly Father, as we prepare for Christmas, help us to remember the coming of Jesus. Forgive us when we spend so much time preparing to enjoy ourselves that we forget those who will have no joy this Christmas. Forgive us that as we decorate our homes, we forget those who have no home. Forgive us if, as we welcome the baby in the manger, we forget he was the man on the cross. We make our prayer in the name of Jesus, who was and is to come. Amen. Amen. Now let us declare our faith in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ as we say together, Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. He was buried. He was raised to life on the third day. In accordance with the Scriptures. Afterwards he appeared to his followers and to all the apostles. This we have received, and this we believe. Amen.
Let's pray. Father, I thank you that we can come to this, the Lord's table, forgiven, that you have counted righteousness to our name, to each of our names, because of Jesus Christ. And Father, as we sit or stand, we remember that our Lord came, and that he was totally successful, that he rose victorious on the third day, overcoming evil, overcoming sin, and made a way for us to know eternal life. This, through grace alone, through faith alone. We thank you, Jesus Christ, and we thank you, Lord, that you're returning. You're coming soon. And I do pray that we'd all be ready for that day, Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you, Father, that on the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. He gave thanks. He broke it and he gave it to his disciples. And he said this, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup and gave thanks, and he gave it to all to drink, saying, "This cup, excuse me, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." So with this bread and this cup, we remember that our Lord offered up his life for us. Send now, we pray, your Holy Spirit, that these gifts of bread and wine may be to us the body and blood of our dear Saviour, Jesus Christ. Shall we pray as we have been taught? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So for anybody at home, the body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The blood of Christ keep you in eternal life.
having been fed by the Lord Jesus, let us now pray for our young people and the leaders as they go out to their groups. Father, we thank you for the precious gift of children. Thank you, Jesus, that you have lived here as one of us and know what it is like to be a child. We pray that you would give us, as adults, everything we need to encourage, nurture, and provide for our children. Protect them and help them to thrive mentally, physically, and spiritually. As they go into their groups, we pray that they will learn more of you, be with the leaders as they share, and may all that is said be to your glory. Amen. Okay, kids, go off and have a great time. Now we come to an extended time of worship where we'll be singing three songs together. Please feel free to stand or sit as you feel comfortable. Thank you.
waters. I wish I could walk through when you don't give the answers. As I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you.
Pour out our praise to you.
till every dark addiction starts to break.
Here this morning. The Lord be with us at this busy time. May we know your presence in all that we do, and may we share the love of Jesus with those around us. Amen. Please be seated for our reading. Our reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, reading from verse 7. Crowds of people came out to John to be baptized by him. "You snakes," he said to them, "who told you that you could escape from the punishment God is about to send? Do those things that will show you that you have turned from your sins. And don't start saying among yourselves that Abraham is your ancestor. I tell you that God can take these stones and make descendants for Abraham. The axe is ready to cut down the trees at the roots. Every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown in the fire." The people asked him, "What are we to do then?" He answered, "Whoever has two shirts must give one to the man who has none, and whoever has food must share it." Some tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what are we to do?" "Don't collect more than is legal," he told them. Some soldiers also asked him, "What about us? What are we to do?" He said to them, "Don't take money from anyone by force or accuse anyone falsely. Be content with your pay." People's hopes began to rise, and they began to wonder whether John perhaps might be the Messiah. So John said to all of them, "I baptize you with water, but someone is coming who is much greater than I am. I am not good enough even to untie his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. He has his winnowing shovel with him to thresh out all the grain and gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn the chaff in a fire that never goes out." In many different ways, John preached the good news to the people and urged them to change their ways. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, may we come with open ears and open hearts to receive from you. Use my words to your glory, I pray. Amen. So if I said to you, "Good news," what would be the first thing that comes to mind? Now, at the risk of being controversial, I could say, well, if you're Birmingham City fans, yesterday's result was good news. And if you were... Seriously, though, perhaps it could be anything. But given the fact that we are here in church, perhaps it may be something like grace, forgiveness, love, salvation. Or, here we are in Advent, and so perhaps hope. Remember as well that the literal meaning of gospel is good news. And this is what we hopefully hear each Sunday, and it's definitely what we read in our Bibles. The good news of God's love revealed in Jesus Christ. And that is a reason to rejoice. Like when the angel proclaimed on the night of Jesus' birth, "Don't be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be to all the people." Today is the third Sunday of Advent, why we have three candles lit. And it's also known as Gaudete Sunday. Now, Gaudete is the Latin word for rejoice. And it always takes me back to a song sung by Steel I Span in the 1970s. Gaudete, Gaudete, Christus est natus. Ex Maria Virgine Gaudete. Rejoice, rejoice. Christ is born from the Virgin Mary. Rejoice. In one short line, three rejoices. It's pretty good, that. So, why is it that in the reading that we've just had, John called those to be baptized snakes? Or, in another version, another translation, you brood of vipers. He warned them to flee from the wrath to come. He told them the demands of repentance. And he prophesied about the coming of the Messiah who would separate the wheat from the chaff. And then in the very last word it says, so with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. Good news, you're a brood of vipers or snakes. Good news. Judgment Day is just around the corner, and that includes you. If this is the good news, dare we ask what the bad news is? It's easy during Advent to simply look ahead to Christmas. Angels and wise men, shepherds, the star in the east, and the promise of peace on earth, goodwill to all. However, we need to remember that Advent is the season in which we are to prepare for the coming of the Lord. In our modern westernized celebration of Christmas, we find virtually no mention of John the Baptist. Do we find him as a central character in the nativities we attend? I don't recall so. Do we see him on Christmas cards declaring, prepare ye the way of the Lord? Just imagine a card with Christmas trees on the front that are piled up in a bonfire. And the message inside? Season's greetings. Even now the axe lies at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that doesn't bring good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. From our house to yours, Merry Christmas. Doesn't quite have the same ring, does it? Or perhaps we should create a John the Baptist figure for the nativity set. A wild-looking man with a camel hair coat. And then place him next to the shepherds and wise men. Well, I can't see that happening anytime soon. But all the Gospels agree, John is the one who heralded the coming of the Messiah. And therefore, he is and should be a central character in the Christmas story. And that's why today we are told to think about him. He told the people Jesus was coming in judgment. And they asked, what shall we do? His answer, quite straightforward, prepare and repent. Now, I think we're possibly guilty on concentrating on preparing. Look how beautifully the church has been cleaned and decorated. Perhaps you've cleaned the house and got your decorations up. And that is the right thing to do when we are to welcome an honoured guest, Christ the Lord. Last week's gospel reading talked about building a highway fit for a king, a highway in which nothing would stand in the way or slow down the coming of the Lord. The point was that God comes in majesty. But you're likely to miss him if you're not ready. Because only those who are prepared for God's coming can truly appreciate the full weight of his forgiveness and love. So, yes, we need to prepare. But John would have us know that we also need to repent. We need to turn from our selfish, sinful ways and live as children of God and disciples of Jesus Christ. He doesn't mince his words. He says, whoever has two shirts must give one to the man who has none. Whoever has food must share it. Now, the tax collectors thought, well, let's see if we can get a different answer. So they come. What must we do? Don't collect more than is legal. And the soldiers again come. What about us? What are we to do? Don't take money from anyone by force or accuse anyone falsely. Be content with your pay. In each situation, John spoke very straightforwardly. He was saying, get your act together. Do what needs to be done. Share a coat. Share food. Don't take more than your share. Don't use your position or power to take advantage of others. Be content with what you have. John would have us know it's not what we say, but what we do that proves our faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the questions I've heard asked is, if you were on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? In other words, is the way you live your life day by day decidedly different from those around us who don't have faith? Another song I remember from my youth puts it like this. They'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. It doesn't really get much simpler than that. The letter of James puts it this way. What good is it, my brothers, if a man says he has faith but has no works? Can faith save him? And if a brother or sister is naked and in lack of daily food, and one of you tells them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, and yet you didn't give them the things the body needs, what good is it? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead in itself. Yes, a man will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I, by my works, will show you my faith. John's listeners didn't ask, what shall we say, or what shall we think, or what shall we believe, or how should we feel? They asked, what shall we do? What is our response? Of course, we know that we are saved by grace through faith, not works. Yet surely there's no denying the importance of good works, a response to the grace and forgiveness we've received. So what do you hear John calling you to do as you prepare for the coming of the Lord? How do his words speak to you? Well, here is one paraphrase I found that perhaps makes the point in a modern context. You who eat too much, go on a diet. You who drink too much, practice moderation or abstain altogether. You who work too much, leave the office earlier. You who talk too much, bridle your tongue. You who spend too much, practice frugality. You who worry too much, pray more often. You who give too little, be more generous. You who are egotistical and self-absorbed, focus on the needs of others rather than yourself. Now, when I found that, I had to admit that there were quite a few there that I could apply to me. How about you? If we are going to be prepared for when the Lord comes, we need to repent. We need to make sure that nothing stands between us and God. This is what the psalmist talked about in Psalm 51 when he said, have mercy on me, God. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. Purify me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Doesn't it stand to reason that we'd want to clean up our lives before coming into the presence of God? And in this sense, repentance, when it happens, is a catalyst for that good news. Repentance makes God's coming something to look forward to, not something to dread. Perhaps there is something in our past or in our lives today that we do struggle to confess to. We are told, however, in James that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. We don't need to just talk about forgiveness when we can experience it firsthand. I would suggest that perhaps without confession, there can be no repentance. Where there's no repentance, there can be no forgiveness. And maybe where there's no forgiveness, there can be no experience of God's love, mercy, and grace. But these are things all we can all experience with God's grace. John says if we are to prepare for God's coming, we need to repent of our sins. And that means changing how we live to conform to God's ways. We can say, yes, I made a mistake, but that's history. So is there something that you or I need to change in our lives before we're ready for Christ to come in all his glory? Advent reminds us that he is coming. He's coming again. And if we are to receive him fully, we need to make those changes now. The American theologian Will Willimon puts it this way. In order to reach Jesus, you first have to get by John. John stands in the way. He tempers our desire to enter God's holiness ill-prepared, to participate in God's kingdom on our terms. He calls us to prepare and to repent. The promise is when we do, not only are we ready to receive him, we realize indeed he has already come. What shall we do? Prepare, repent, and rejoice. Gaudete, gaudete, Christus est natus. Amen. We come to another song of worship during which an offering will be taken.
Should come as one of us, I'll never run.
Thank you, dear Lord, for your gift to us of your Son. And Lord, we thank you for this offering, a token of our love for you. May it be used to the furtherance of your kingdom and to your glory. Amen. We come to a time of prayer.
Let us begin with an Advent prayer. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this season of Advent. Lord, if all seems dark around us, grant us your enlightenment. If all seems silent within us, grant us your word, that in the promise of your coming to us, we may know your presence. May we always rest secure in the knowledge of your ceaseless love and boundless grace. This Advent, we pray, as people come into churches everywhere for special services, that many lives may be touched by your Holy Spirit. Lord, shine a new light for us all on the mystery of your incarnation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we bring to you the countless needs of our troubled world, especially the many places of conflict, like the Middle East and Ukraine. Please comfort those who have been traumatized, injured, or bereaved by war. Please provide for those who have been displaced or made homeless by conflict. Particularly, Lord, we pray for Syrians that their future may be vastly better than their past. Bring stability back to the places undergoing changes at the top, like South Korea and France. Let us spend a moment praying in our hearts for some aspect of world news. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Heavenly Lord, we pray for all places around the world affected by climate change, for the wildfires in Southern California to be put out, for the people of the French island Mayotte and in the Indian Ocean, struck by cyclone. For those in this country whose homes and businesses are repeatedly flooded. For farmers struggling to grow food with unpredictable seasonal conditions. For parts of the world where lack of rainfall and drought are making the land unproductive, leading to famine. Lord, we pray for climate change to be taken more seriously across all nations and for restoration of the natural world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we lift to you all who find their lives blighted by sickness or poverty, anxiety, or other types of need. We lift to you any known to us who are bereaved, such as the Tobin family, or who are remembering a departed loved one at this time of year. For all who are finding life hard, we ask that they may be able to cast their cares on you in the knowledge that you care for them. And in the quietness of hearts, let's bring someone to the Lord who need his healing. And from our prayer board, we pray for Emma Roberts, Kayla and Peter, Ted and Mary, Shirley and Malcolm, Joy and Colin, Steve, Sheila and Ben. For Peter Hyde, Avril, Bethany, Judith, James and Lizzie. For Helen, Peter Shepherd, Barbara Duffin, Mark Twigg, Paul Mills. For Pat. Thank you, Lord, that your love for us is unshakable and that you have the power to transform even the most difficult circumstances. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Come to our concluding song of worship. I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me.
Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heaven.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for men and women who have been like John the Baptist for us, for those who have prepared the way for others to hear you speak and to know that you are real. We thank you for those whose words and deeds demonstrate the reality of your presence, for those whose way of life gives hope to others and glory to you. May we, by your Holy Spirit, be channels of your life-refreshing, life-transforming grace for others. In the name of Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please do join us for refreshments next door.